the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Welcome, everyone, to Lifetime Income. I'm Jim Poplava.
And I'm Chris Prytower. This week on the program, we're going to pick up on a theme that we touched on last week when we discussed your 401k plan. By the way, that was our November 12th podcast. The message was that it's time to get defensive. And you've already seen this year how gains in the stock market can be fleeting. We've started off the year setting new records week after week, only to give back all of those gains in the first week of February. Now, it wouldn't be until this last summer that stocks started to do well again, setting records in September and the first week of October. Then in three short weeks, the markets gave back all of their gains and went negative for the year. Now, since that time, stock markets have become even more volatile, vacillating between being up one week or down the next, as was the case last week. So the markets really do seem to be sending a message. And I think, Jim, it's now clear that we are in a topping process. I mean, as markets peak ahead of a recession and bear markets. So if you've just retired or are close to retirement, let's say you're 5 to 10 years away, you need to pay attention to this program. You just don't want to go through another downturn like we did between 2000 and 2002 and in 2007 and even 2009. I probably shouldn't need to say it, but experiencing a 40 to 50% drop in your assets at the beginning of your retirement is just devastating. It can set you back for a decade or even lead to becoming broke in your later years when those assets are most needed or even to take care of healthcare needs.
You know, Chris, in the financial planning business, and we've talked about this in the past, we refer to this loss as sequence risk. Really, what it is, sequence risk is experiencing a major loss at the beginning of your retirement due to a bear market. Now, you don't ever want to experience this at the beginning when you first retire, because especially you're going to be dependent on those assets to provide for your living costs. The best example I can give you is what happened to financial markets between the years 2000 and 2013. Between that time, we experienced two bear markets within a short time span. The markets lost 50% of their value between 2000 and 2002. Then we went up for about 4 or 5 years, and just when you thought you were back to break even, well, then we came to 2007. Another bear market started, which took down the stock market almost 60% to that low of 666. It would not be until late spring of 2013 before we got back to break even again, and the markets exceeded their previous highs, and then finally we've gone on to surpass them. So imagine if you began your retirement in the year 2000. What did you see in 13 years? You saw your stocks fall 50% for 2 years. You start to get back to break even again, and then they fall another 60%. The long and short of it is for 13 years, stocks went nowhere. And that's not the kind of situation you want to find yourself in at the beginning of your retirement. If you have gains in your stocks or stock funds or ETFs, you don't want to give them all back and wait another 5 years just to get back to break even. Imagine the damage if markets fall 40, 50%. And here's the more important point. A lot of you are liquidating or selling off shares. You might be on the, like, for example, a 4% withdrawal rate. So if you're withdrawing assets, you're selling them off at the time the market is going down maybe 15, 20% a year. Imagine the devastation to your portfolio and what you might be left with after the bear market finally ends.
Well, and just the math of those kinds of losses should get listeners' attention. They've already experienced those losses twice over the last decade, so this is not completely foreign. And you know, Jim, this has been the longest running bull market on record. I don't think we can say it enough that it's really easy to get complacent and think that times will only get better. That's what happens when you get close to a market top. You believe the good times will last forever. I don't think investors understand how long it takes to get back to break even.
And on that point, let me give you an example that'll drive home this point. Let's say, let's just make the math simple. Let's say you have a $100,000 portfolio. We enter a bear market and stocks fall 50% as they did in 2000 and 2007. So now your $100,000 portfolio is only worth $50,000. You will need, listen to this one, you will need to earn a 100% return before you get back to break even again. In the last bear market, which ended in March of 2009, it would not be until April of 2013 before you got back to break even again, a period of 5 years. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. You don't want to go through a bear market when you first start to retire, or let's say you're out there, you're 3 to 5 years away from retirement, and you're trying to reach a certain number with your savings or your portfolio, and then all of a sudden they give half of that back, and they have to wait another 5 years to get back to even. It could change your retirement. It could change the day you retire. Maybe you're going to have to end up postponing it, and it can change and alter your retirement lifestyle. But the damage is even worse than those numbers I just gave. Because if you're drawing down your assets to live on, which is what most people do, you're selling those assets at a loss every month, which makes matters even worse, because once you sell that asset at a loss, the loss is permanent.
Well, longtime listeners will recognize that it's often recommended that retirees or those approaching retirement diversify their assets into stocks and bonds with obviously a large tilt toward bonds for predictable income and safety. Now, typically, the recommendations are that your bond percentage should be close to your age. So if you're close to 65, you should have at least, well, probably a 60% bond weighting. But as we've covered on the weekend show, the 60-40 split is not working anymore. Owning bond funds or bond ETFs did not protect you in both of the stock market sell-offs this year. Bonds went down along with stocks, so you lost money in both asset classes. So it begs the question, Jim, how do retirees or future retirees protect themselves during the next downturn?
Well, to put that in perspective, in terms of what you just said, where bonds did not protect you in both stock market corrections this year, we need to discuss that we have entered a new secular bear market in bonds. As Dave Nikoski on the weekend show talked about, if you take a look at where we are today in interest rates have doubled from where they were in 2016. And unlike stock, bull, and bear markets, which, you know, typically can last maybe a decade, bond bull markets and bear markets are longer trending. They're more secular. They can last 25 to 28 years as the medium number of years the market lasts, or this last one, which lasted 35 years, and we believe that bear market began in the summer of 2016 when we got down to 1.3% on 10-year treasuries. On the day we're doing this podcast, we're above 3%. So you're more likely to see a long period lasting decades of rising interest rates, and especially now and into the next decade as we head into a protracted period, $1 trillion deficits. The CBO just said the deficit for 2018, the government's fiscal year ended in September, was over $750 billion. The CBO is projecting $1 trillion next year. And Chris, we're running $1 trillion deficits, and we're not even in a recession yet. So the sheer scale of debt being accumulated by the federal government has put the U.S. on a path of rising interest costs that could crowd out other government spending priorities, not to mention rattle the markets, driving up interest rates. Let me put this in perspective for listeners. The government will spend more on interest than it does on Medicaid by the year 2020. They will spend more on interest than they do on the entire defense budget by 2023, and more on interest than they do on all discretionary spending combined by 2025. Somebody says that debt doesn't matter. Well, it's starting to matter now. One of the reasons you saw the big jump in the government's budget deficit for the year 2018 is interest costs have gone up. I mean, look at it this way. If the government was paying 1.3% to finance a 10-year treasury in 2016, think of the amount of interest the government is paying now when the national debt is heading to $22 trillion. So it's no wonder the deficits are growing because there's more debt. And this is not going to be good news for bond investors, especially those invested in corporate, high yield, or government bonds. They're losing money in bond funds, and they've been losing money since the beginning of the year. And it's only going to get worse as the Fed continues to raise interest rates and the government budget deficits balloon well into the next decade. And a lot of that is not only just an increase in interest rates as a result of the Fed raising rates, but also because of these giant-sized deficits approaching $1 trillion well into the next decade, the government is going to have to pay more interest to entice people to buy their bonds. So this is a long-term trend, and especially when we look at entitlements, with the baby boomers heading into retirement to the tune of 10,000 boomers a day heading into retirement, which means more Medicare, more Social Security payments, and that goes well on into the next decade.
Well, it's a scary of enough thought that you can't just sit on the sidelines. So what do investors do to protect themselves from going through another market avalanche like what you just described?
You know, I can't say this too often. If you are in a bond fund, you either need to switch to a very short-term bond fund or ETF, or even better, start investing in individual short-term bonds where you know what your income is going to be and your principal is safe. You're going to be a lot safer. You're going to have a lot more reliability and predictability in income. And here's the good news, Chris, for retirees. The yields are between 3 and 5% and they're rising. So unlike a bond fund, you will know exactly what your income is going to be, what your principal will be when your bond matures, and unlike what happens to your bond funds. When you're in a bond fund, you have no maturity. You have no idea of what your income's going to be. Going back to the year 2000, when interest rates were at 7 and 8%, let's say you retired, you put 60% of your money in a bond fund, you thought, boy, life is good. Unfortunately, Greenspan brought interest rates on the Fed funds from 6% down to 1%. Interest rates on those bond funds, the dividends were cut every single year. Then interest rates began to rise, and we got to 2007, and then the Fed brought interest rates down to zero, so they headed down to the lowest point in history, which is where we got to in 2016. Think of how unpredictable your income was during that time. So you want to protect yourself from losing money as interest rates rise, because the Fed has given every indication when it met this month that there is one more rate hike coming again next month. And what does that mean? You're seeing it reflected in Treasury yields. They're starting to rise, especially on the short-term end. And as Dave Nikoski and I talked about on the weekend show, you're already starting to see some trouble in various sectors of the economy that depend on financing. And I'm talking mainly about housing and autos have already peaked. Housing peaked in March and May. And just think, if mortgage rates have gone from 3.5% to 5%, how much more expensive it is to finance a home or a car? And that's being reflected sooner or later in the economy.
So, Jim, the safety and reliability of bonds, that clearly is a good thing. And we know that the 60-40 split, that's not working. But what about stocks?
You know, if I had a large profits or if I was index funds, I would seriously talk about taking some profits, reducing risk as markets head higher, as I believe they will over the next 6 months. But by the middle of next year, we will arrive in the point in time in the financial markets as the Fed over-tightens, as they always do, and the economy weakens, and we eventually head into a recession. What we don't know at this time is how this plays out with such a high concentration of financial assets in the hands of just a few players, and the concentration of vast sums of money in these index funds, which will be liquidated in the next downturn. I don't believe you should get completely out of stocks at this point, but it is time to reduce your exposure to the markets, and especially if you're in index funds. You need to start de-risking, so in the event when the bear market arrives, you aren't fully exposed as you are now. And the reason I want to say you start de-risking now, think of what happened in the beginning of the year. Every single week, the market was hitting new records. And then all of a sudden, we got one economic report at the end of January, and boom, in 6 days, the market was down 12%. Think back just a little over a month ago. We came out of the summer in the month of September. Every single week, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ was hitting records until we got to October 3rd. In 1 month or 3 weeks, we gave back all those gains. Last week or the week before, the market rallied back and we finally went back into positive territory. But then last week, we gave back most of those gains. So I don't believe you should get completely out of stocks. Now, the good news, if you are retired or nearing retirement, you have plenty of options to choose from to protect yourself without having to sacrifice income. Now, that wasn't the case, Chris, several years ago when we were in what we called the TINA market. TINA standing for there is no alternative to stocks. Today, there are so many alternatives to stay safe and receive income. So that's the good news. If you de-risk, and especially if you're living off your assets for income, you're not going to have to sacrifice income to keep yourself safe.
Okay, Jim, but how do listeners actually do that? Because the economic news is generally pretty good. The economy is growing at the fastest rate in nearly a decade. The unemployment rate is at decade lows. We know inflation is moderate. Consumer confidence is high. I think it's hard for most to think of things getting bad or even a major storm on the way. Don't you think that getting defensive is probably the last thing on investors' minds right now?
Yeah, you know, being a sailor, I love using this analogy because this is where we find ourselves in. Imagine you're on a beach in Florida. Heck, you could be on a beach in Mexico somewhere on vacation. It's sunny. It's a warm, balmy day. The winds are mild. The sun is bright. Everything looks good. But you happen to look up when you're at the hotel or at home. You look at the weather report, and off the shores of West Africa, there is a tropical storm that's building. Now, what you don't know is the strength of the storm, the direction of the storm, when the storm will hit, how severe it will be. Will it be a major category storm, a category 3 or 4 hurricane, or 5 like Katrina and Rita, or will it just end up turning out to be a tropical storm over in a couple days and you're okay? We simply don't know. The big risk this time around is not just the risk of stocks falling, losing 30, 40, or 50%, but it's also the bond market. Many of the most popular bond funds and ETFs own illiquid and low-quality bonds. And this is something we talked about at our strategy conference in October, is that you take a look at these bond funds, and the way most people buy them, they buy them on yield. If you have two funds you're looking at as an investor, one yields 4%, the other one is yielding 4.5. People aren't asking, well, wait a minute, I'm going to go with the 4.5, but why is it yielding 4.5%? The reason it's yielding 4.5%, chances are the vast majority of corporate bonds that they own are triple B, which is just one notch above junk bonds. During a recession, they could get downgraded to junk bond status. And when that happens, it's going to force the manager of the bond fund to dump those bonds, probably at a loss. So the risk this next bear market is going to be not only in just stocks, but in bond funds as well. And that's why you want to begin de-risking, as we have been doing for our clients and ourselves. I mean, once again, it's like the weather analogy. You just don't know when the storm is going to hit. And we have some pretty bright technicians on the weekend show. And even they say you can't pinpoint the bottom. You can just look for telltale signs that something is amiss out there, and we're already starting to see that. The way you want to de-risk is you want to go to individual bonds, because in the bond funds that you own, they have long-dated maturities, they have lower quality bonds. A lot of these bonds and these funds are triple B, and they're illiquid. The thing about owning, if you go to individual short-term bonds, let's say I buy a two-year for example, two-year treasury note? Well, number one, I have very little risk of rising interest rates because my maturity is short term. I have very little risk because it's the government. The other thing about it is I can get a fairly decent yield. I mean, you have yields today approaching 3%. If you're going into interest rate floaters, you can get nearly 5%. And what that does, at least it allows us to get higher levels of income as interest rates rise with short-term maturities, and that also protects your capital. Now, in terms of stocks, we've reduced our exposure to the stock market and will continue to do so as those indexes head higher. And we've moved to more defensive sectors of the economy as the business cycle ages. Because let's put it this way, the Fed has been relentless in pursuing their strategy of raising interest rates. So now we face another risk factor, which we've talked about on the weekend program. We have a change in Congress, and we don't know, as it's gone to Democratic hands, will they investigate or legislate? And right now, we simply don't know. And if it looks like confrontation and investigations, that will add another element of uncertainty to the markets. If you add that to Fed raising interest rates, that's why we think 2019 is going to be a very, very volatile year. You've seen volatility increase this year, which is typically what happens towards the end of a business cycle. As the Fed keeps raising interest rates, it begins to cause problems. You've seen it with overseas markets and emerging markets, which are down 25 and 30%. Now you're starting to see some of those troubles come home here in the U.S. as we've already experienced our second 10% correction this year.
And I know last week, and Ryan Sweet from Moody's Analytics mentioned that 2019 was a, I think he referred to it as a first half, second half story, with risks increasing by next summer, followed by a possible recession. Now, Jim, if I were to sum up here, what you're saying are several things here, if not a warning, and I want to identify these and outline these for our listeners. The first one, start de-risking your portfolio now rather than wait until the bear market arrives. Number two, the risk this time isn't just in stock funds, but also in bond funds, which have been losing money all year and unfortunately just not protected investors. The third thing, though, many of the popular bond funds and ETFs are holding lower quality and illiquid bonds, which accounts for their higher yields. Number four, with interest rates rising and the Fed continuing to raise interest rates, you don't want to own long-term bonds, as most bond funds do. Number five, you now have plenty of options to protect capital and still receive income. These are options that weren't available several years ago. And then number six, if you do want to remain in the stock market, you should gravitate to the more defensive sectors of the economy in industries that are more immune to an economic slowdown. And finally, number seven, as stock indexes rise, reduce your market exposure. Now, this is more and more important for those listeners that are nearing retirement or just recently retired. So that way you can avoid what Jim's talking about when he mentions sequence risk, and you can protect capital that will be much needed in the later years of your life when medical expenses will statistically be the highest.
Yeah, and I want to illustrate this point. We have a case that our firm is working on now that involves a couple that live here in Southern California. They are selling their coastal home for a tidy sum of money, and they're heading to Nevada. Now, the plan is they want to spend summers here to avoid the Nevada summer heat. So the plan is to have a small place here to spend the summer, but they will change their residency to Nevada. Number one, it's cheaper. They can get a house they're going to pay cash for. Number two, they get rid of California income taxes. So they're going to pay cash for the Nevada home. But, you know, we recommended that they wait until the recession hits before looking for, let's say, a townhouse or condo here in Southern California, where they would like to basically spend summers and also be close to friends. We have right now, because they're going to be retiring at the end of this year, we have their portfolio, Chris, 60% in short-term bonds with an average yield between 3.5% and 4%. And that yield will rise as interest rates rise over the next year. We have only about 20% of their portfolio in defensive stocks within the stock market, and the rest is in cash, which may be deployed in additional short-term bonds as rates rise. and a small percentage in precious metals if the dollar breaks, which we think it will do next year. Now, what is this doing? This strategy not only provides them with a comfortable income, but here's the most important thing. It keeps them safe and their capital safe as they begin their retirement years. And any proceeds that are left over from the sale of the house, we will use for, let's say, a small place in California. But I told them, I said, look, you know, interest rates are rising. That's going to cause housing prices to fall, which they're doing in California now. And any excess that will be used to buy, let's say, a townhouse or condo, we're just going to keep in three-month treasury bills. So they'll be liquid, they'll be safe, in addition to providing some income. And then when the downturn comes and prices soften, that's when they'll use to, let's say, buy a townhouse or a condo at a much, much lower price.
Now, Jim, if listeners would like to talk to your portfolio team and certified financial planner fiduciaries, how can they do so?
You know, they can give us a call at 888-486-3939, and we'll be glad to discuss your risk, your portfolio. In fact, we have very sophisticated software that can take a look at, number one, we do two things. Measure your risk tolerance. That's both for you and your spouse. And then what we also do is then we take a look and analyze your portfolio. We can tell you, let's say your risk is 4 on a scale of 1 to 10, and then we look at your portfolio and your risk is 7 or 8. You know, there's a problem there and you could be subject to a downturn, but we also put it in numerical terms. The software has algorithms that take a look at where the market is, ratios and things of that nature. And then they'll tell you, hey, your upside could be 10% on a $100,000 portfolio. So that could be upside of $10,000, but your downside risk is $40,000. So it puts it in plain language. And you can know what kind of risk that you're facing, which is the most important thing. But once again, do listen to what we're saying here, because we're seeing more and more signs, and you've already seen it this year. My goodness, if it hasn't got your attention, if you're in bond funds, as you look at your losses, or you think one day you're rich in the market, as you did in January this year, only to give it all back in the month of February, then you think you're rich again in September, and you gave it all back last month. So already you're seeing signs that this market is heading for trouble, and you don't want to wait to the last minute. Just think of the analogy of that person sitting on the beach, and you know from the weatherman, they're telling you that some kind of major tropical storm is forming, heading your way. You want to get ahead of it.
And Jim, I want to let our listeners know about tomorrow's program. Mitzi Perdue is our special guest on tomorrow's edition of Lifetime Income. She's the daughter of the business titan who founded the Sheraton Hotel chain. She's also the widow of the poultry legend Frank Perdue. She's been on the show before, and I have to say, on a personal note, she's in the top 5 of my favorite guests. I've shared anecdotes that she's given on the show with friends and family multiple times. Our listeners will not want to miss tomorrow's program with Mitzi Perdue.
And that concludes today's show. We have a lot of things that we're going to be talking about, especially in retirement income, because a lot of the feedback that we get from you that are listening to this show, they go, okay, Jim, I get it that, you know, we're at possible risk here of another bear market and another recession, but what the heck do I do for income? I'm retired now and I depend on my investments. So we're going to do some concepts to help you navigate this next storm that will probably head our way sometime next year. You're seeing signs of it right now, although what we've seen this year are more like squalls than they are real storms. But there's a concept called flooring, and that is basically taking a look at what your basic living needs are. That is what should drive your portfolio construction. So, for example, if you need $5,000 a month income, then you should be looking at a portfolio or a strategy that drives $5,000 of income into your pocket on a predictable basis, not something that's variable that could be $5,000 one month, $4,500 the next. So we'll be spending a lot more time on that, and we're going to help you navigate through this storm. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.